is Paul Esposito.
Seems in Hebrews he's talking about losing your salvation, but that's not the case. The text here in Hebrews, he's referring to Jews. Persecuted Jews who were officially considering, all right, this is it. I officially am going to walk away from Christianity here on the 12th day of July 2020, and I'm going back to leeks and onions. That's what these people were about to do. And when you make that proclamation, you're toast. These Jews, whoever it is that wrote Hebrews is saying, if you walk away from this point on, there's nothing anyone can do for you. We can't crucify Jesus again. He's not going to get up on the cross again. There's nothing left for you. If after what he did, if you were going to walk away from the blood of Jesus Christ and thumb your nose at that and go back to keeping the law, then you're gone. There's nothing left for you. As it says, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. That's another place, Hebrews 10. If we sin willfully after receiving a knowledge of the truth, then there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but just a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So that's not what that's saying. That's not saying that if you slip up and fall away, you can't come back. That was written specifically to them. That if you swear off Jesus Christ forever and walk away, is what that's saying. Not to you for stumbling or drifting or falling away. Has there anyone here other than me ever fallen away for a time and come back? Everyone except Darren. That's pretty good. Since Don is not here today. Don't you love people like that? Except Christ in 1932 and never fall away, you know? Golly, I wish I was one of them. All right, let's move on. Now, the reference to Revelation 3:5, which instead of being a threat, is actually a promise that for all of you that cross the finish line, nothing will ever cause your name to be taken out of the book of life. Read it again. It's not a threat. It's a promise. For all of you that persevere in the faith, for all of you that cross the finish line, I promise I or no one else will ever erase your name out of the book of life. That's what that is. Not a threat, it's a promise. Nothing can ever cause your name to be taken out of the book. But notice, please, what's required of you, and that is crossing the finish line in faith. The Bible says, he that overcometh. All seven letters to the seven churches, they're all prefaced with he that overcomes. He that overcomes will inherit all things. You've got to cross the finish line. Now remember, Jesus warns, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Now according to Matthew chapter 13, three out of four people who start out in the faith won't cross the finish line. That is shocking to me. Three out of four people that start out in the faith won't cross the finish line. By the way, that's my sermon for next week. Lord gave that to me this morning, studying in my office. Matthew 13 and the parable of the soils. That's what we're going to look at. Four different people start off in the faith, but their soil is different. And out of all four, only one crossed the finish line. Everyone else, something happens in their life and gets them off course, and they don't cross the finish line. Some people don't understand. We'll get to that next week. Don't miss next week. Now, As for the first two references, again, notice the phrase, if ye, or if you continue, or if you keep in memory. Again, these verses seem to imply salvation is up to you. Because all these threats are delivered right back to the person. But here's the problem with that. Something is missing. If salvation is left to you, if you saved yourself, then it's up to you to keep yourself. If you save yourself, church, then you can lose yourself. And not only can you lose yourself, let me clue you in on something, you will lose it. If you save yourself, you're going to lose it. You didn't do the work. Now, these verses here in 1 Corinthians 15 and Colossians 1, these are written down to motivate you to cross the finish line in faith. He's saying you can't quit now. Christians cross the finish line. Call it a mild threat if you want, or call it an exhortation. That you must cross the finish line. There's no other option for the Christian. There's no other option. Now, once again, in all these texts we've looked at, there's something, or better yet, someone is missing from this equation whose name we haven't even mentioned yet. And that would be Almighty God Himself. All these things have been you. You better keep in memory. You better not forget. You better hold on. You. I'm flawed. I can't do all that. I'm frail. But thank God, Almighty God is the one who does. You see, you have been given a guarantee. And there's another Justin Wilson phrase, guarantee. It's in the Bible. You've been given a guarantee that no demon from hell can take you out. And no sin can take you out. It's guaranteed. I guarantee you. It's in this book. You've got a guarantee from God concerning your salvation. And that guarantee is found in two places. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God by us. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Think of the old English word earnest. In real estate, there's a phrase called, when you put a down payment on a house, what's it called? Earnest money. Earnest money is a deposit. It's a down payment, if you will, a portion of the total purchase price. The ESV reads this way. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who also has put his seal upon us and has given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, Gene's Bible, the Holman Christian Standard, reads this way. Now, it is 2 Corinthians 1:21. It is God who strengthens us with you in Christ and has anointed us. He also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit as a down payment. Ah, I love it. Eye is not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. The Spirit is a guarantee. It's a deposit. It's a down payment on greater things to come. The proof is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. That's the down payment that when you die and leave this world, it's unimaginable what's waiting for you on the other side. And God's promised it, He's promised it to us by giving you his Holy Spirit and by sealing you. You are untouchable as a sealed child of God. No one can harm you. Satan can't harm you. Otherwise, he already would have. No one can harm you. No one can harm you. No one can harm you even when you die. Notice who's done the work. Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given to us the Spirit as a guarantee. Wish the other kids were still with us here today. What a great lesson this is. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and call on his name, when you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and call out his name and receive him, he gives you something, and that is a part of himself. Not only that, he gives you himself. Himself. And it's a guarantee. No one can take it. The president can't take it. No one can tax it. No thief can break in and steal it from you. It's a guarantee from God that you have eternal life and that when you die and leave this world, well, he says that my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Just like Dwayne said to me, no matter what happens to me, I live. I win. I've got the victory. Just like Paul said the same thing. It doesn't matter. To live is Christ. To die is gain. It doesn't matter when your name is in the book what happens to you. It's a great life. Make the most of it. But know that there are greater things waiting for you when you die and move on. And the guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Again, that was 2 Corinthians 5:5. Let me read it out of the King James. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Again, this means what it says. For all of you that have been truly born again, born from above, you've got the guarantee from Almighty God. And the guarantee is found on the inside of you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He himself personally guarantees your safety and your victory. And that just makes me want to shout. All right, how about some more guarantees? Ephesians chapter 4. You can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read it. Chapter 4, Ephesians verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to those that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice this one spoken in the negative. Notice the let no and grieve not in these verses. This one's caused me much grief, knowing the Holy Spirit of the living God is actually living on the inside of me. And to know that my sin grieves him. Notice, too, he's a person. You can't grieve wind. You can't grieve an inanimate object. He's a person. You can grieve him. He speaks. There's quotation marks around his words. He's the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Let's not forget that. 2 Corinthians, it says the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He is God. Let's move on. Of course, the one place. Let's keep this positive here for the last few minutes I've got with you. And how could it not be a great sermon like this on how are we saved and who does the work? So the greatest place to go is where, Darren? Romans chapter 8, verses 28 on. 1 John. Come into my office later, son. Where have I gone wrong? All right. Well, someone from the peanut gallery quoted out 1 John 5:4, which says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Hallelujah! See, that's all I ever need is one verse. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Let's all go home now. I don't need two verses from God. I trust him with one. I trust him with what he says. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are the called. I love the way the King James and the New King James has the definite article, T-H-E, the called, meaning it's a special group of people. The other translation says to those who are called. These translations say to those who are the called. That's you. You are a special group of people. The called. All things work together for good. To those that love God, to those who are the called, according to his purpose. Now, notice now, we're going from ye, 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 to he. 9, right? There's no ye's here. It's just he's. Now let's read, shall we? Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, meaning I'm not done yet, so sit down. Anytime you see moreover. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he's called. And whom he's called, these he's justified. And whom he's justified, these he is glorified. Notice, 10 times in these two verses is the word he. And nowhere in here is the word you. Church, hear me here. Salvation is of the Lord. God's done the work. You haven't. He's done all of it. Look at this. Notice, please, too, church. Notice the way all these words are in the past tense. See that, Sean, in your Bible? They've all already happened. Let's read it again. Whom he foreknew, that's not prognosko, that's proegno. It's already happened. These things have already happened. That's why it says in Ephesians 1:4 that he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. You are already saved. He's already chosen you. Where is that in the Bible? I just read it to you. Ephesians 1:4-11. Romans 8:28-30. Believe the word of God. Not what men tell you about the word of God. Stand on the word. Is that a bad thing that God loves you that much? Is it a bad thing that he's already called you? Is it a bad thing that he saved you? Then why are so many people bent out of shape? Oh, I hate that doctrine of predestination. All right, you're a Christian and you just hate that God loved you before he made any of that. Boy, what a terrible burden you've got. Imagine that. God loves you. And you're angry? This is a good thing. This means what can man, this is why Paul says at the end of all this, he says, what can man do? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, Who can be against us? Once you get the knowledge and the understanding that God saved you before he made any of this, you won't be afraid to go to the supermarket to get a loaf of bread. Or you won't keep you up at night that you're running out of toilet paper. You won't have those fears anymore. Because you understand that your life is in greater hands than any of that. Whom he foreknew, these he's predestined. Foreknow, to know in advance. Like the weatherman, what's your prognosis? What do they say here in Florida? High of 90, 50% chance of rain. Possible hurricane at the end of this summer. And they get $100,000 a year for that? What's God's prognosis? Before I made this world, I knew you. Just like he said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, Gene, I knew you. And I called you. And I chose you. And then it says, he predestined, that's the word horizon, with the preposition pre in front of it. That means to be marked out in advance. God has marked you out and set you up like the horizon in advance before he made anything. He's called you. He's justified. Now, justified is out of the courtroom. The judge got the gavel. Here's your case. The judge slams down his gavel based on the evidence. Makes a decision one way or the other. For all those that have called on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. Whoever is called on the name of the Lord, God with his gavel takes it, goes like this and says, not guilty. What are you going to do with that, devil? What are you going to do with that? When you call on the name of Jesus Christ, God declares you not guilty, and there's no double jeopardy. They can't bring you up later. There is no other president but one. He'll never be impeached. People try to impeach him. Read Psalm 2. They gather together against the Lord and against this Christ. It's the only time you see in the Bible it says God laughs. That's at all those that try to overthrow him here coming up any day at the end of the age. Whom he foreknew, these he's predestined to look like Jesus or to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he's predestined, these he's called. Remember, I've showed you that. God calls you on your cell phone. What do? You respond to the call. Don't send them the voicemail. You don't block the caller. You respond when he calls you. And you say like Isaiah, here am I. I volunteer. Send me. And then it says whom he's called. These he's justified. Whom he's justified, these he's glorified. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Now whether or not that's already happened or if that's just on the come and he's calling it, but according to God's eyes, we're already glorified. Doxa, the same word used of him. I can understand that. How he's going to glorify this old sap? But I receive it. The Bible says he's glorified us. And it's already happened. So here's five things that God's already done. Number one, he's already known you. Number two, he's marked you out for salvation in advance. Number three, he's called you. Number four, he's already justified you. And number five, he has already glorified you. Now that's why we say that you can never lose your salvation. Because God is the one that's done all the work. And I say to you, we all say, salvation is of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with Him daily and is tuned in to His frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Breaking, you are left unshaken. When everything's tumbling down, you're the solid ground. Nations could be quaking, economies failing. When fear is found all around, you're the solid ground. Our God, you are all that you say. Be shaken. We shall not be shaken. When everything's breaking, you are left unshaken. When everything's tumbling down, you're the solid ground. Nations could be quaking, economies failing. Fear is found all around, you're the solid ground. Our God, you are all that you say you are. You never change, you never fail, you never fail. Our God, you are faithful in all your ways. Forever you stand, forever you reign, forever remain. We shall not be shaken when all around is sinking sand. For you are never changing. You are never changing. You will stand. The great I am. No, we shall not be shaken. We shall not be shaken when all around is sinking sand. For you are never changing. You are never changing. You will stand. The great I am. The great I am. Our God, you are all that you say you are. You never change.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
To make a difference here, it's all too